what you've done. The game can try to play us. Don't let it stop the fun. Some days it's all confusion. Easy come and easy go. What if it's all illusion? Sit back and enjoy the show. Let's keep it going.
Howdy ho, listenerinos. Yeah, I'll go with that. Welcome to a brand new episode of Rewind, Replay, Record. My name is Brian. Welcome back. We are doing our journey, talking about WandaVision and everything. And guess what? People are here with me right now. Who's with me today?
Oh, this is Edwin. Hello, everybody.
What up, Edwin? And
this is Ava.
Hey, Ava, how you doing?
Good.
Edwin,
how you doing?
I'm doing great. Edwin, how are you doing?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, everybody's here for Ava and you anyway, so. And Daniel.
Oh, that's not.
Where's the D-Man?
D-Man could not make it tonight.
We miss you, D-Man.
Reasons and such. You hear that, Daniel? See, you think everyone's against you, but, you know, just one of us is. And who? We don't know. That's the mystery, much like WandaVision. So, actually, before we jump into, speaking of Daniel, he did want us to bring up a subject, and that is today on Valentine's Day, because, you know, it is Valentine's Day and everything. Who, you know, for dudes who don't like Valentine's Day, who are very bro-y, very jockey and whatnot, they don't like this romantic stuff. Bah, hooey, who needs it? What they need is a trailer for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
The bell's been rung. But in the dark, among the stars, the god is dead.
I had a dream. Almost like a premonition.
I think there's an attack coming.
My lord, this world will fall.
I need warriors. I'm building an alliance. Defend ourselves.
How do you know your team's strong enough? If you can't bring down the charging bull and don't wave the red cape at it,
you were sent here for a reason. And even if it takes you the rest of your life, find out what that reason is.
Said the age of heroes would never come again.
It will. It has to.
We live in a society where honor is a distant memory. Isn't that right? Batman.
So today they released the trailer for the director's cut or Zack Snyder's cut of the Justice League. If you don't know, we've talked about it before. Basically, Zack Snyder was in the middle of making his Justice League when tragically his daughter committed suicide. So he left the project to spend time with family. WB hired Joss Whedon, who's having an amazing week this week. Not really. Came in, pretty much changed a lot of it to be his version of Justice League, and people were upset, thinking that Zack Snyder would have the better version or something. So they started a whole campaign, bullied Warner Brothers into doing to making Zack Snyder do his finish his version of Justice League, which is coming out in March. Rated R, because who cares? You know, it's Justice League. No babies allowed. And it's also 4 hours long. Guys, you both look incredibly excited right now. Are you excited for the Justice League? Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Well, Ava didn't see it.
Honestly, I can't say anything about it.
And you know what? That says everything.
Then you are very, very lucky. So I'm going to talk about the trailer.
Go ahead.
Thought it was garbage.
Yeah.
Thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
Trailers are supposed to kind of excite you. This did not excite me. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I wasn't a fan of Justice League, and I don't really remember if I've seen it. So maybe clearly if it was really good,
you would have remembered.
And they would have not remade it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, yeah, the trailer didn't do anything. Superman screaming in the beginning, I don't understand.
I think that's when he was dying in BVS.
Which I also don't remember. I can't really say, honestly, Brian, I really don't know what to say except for I felt nothing. The quality looked terrible.
So that was a big thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say in the end, probably the only thing they're trying to make this interesting is by adding the Joker in the very, very last scene. And it was not good.
Because it's for me. It's Jared Leto's Joker. You can see that he's not damaged anymore because that tattoo has been removed. That is one of the things that kind of, I guess, was added to it. Supposedly, this is his original version, his vision, which included reshoots, including, I guess, with Jared Leto as the Joker, because I don't know. I was never a big Jared Leto Joker fan. I thought he was just trying way too hard. And I don't know. Yeah, like, I have nothing. I honestly don't care. If you were one of the few thousand people that decided to, you know, start this campaign and everything to get this vision seen, hey, good on you. Zack Snyder is one of the few lucky directors that is able to do this, I think. I think probably the only one where he literally got changed and then was able to go back and finish a movie that was already created. So, I mean, good on him too, because many Hollywood directors aren't able to do that. But at 4 hours, I'm looking at the trailer now and it just screams a jock bro who thinks comic books are for babies and we're going to try to make it ultra cool or something. I don't know. Hey, if you like it, you like it. Whatever. I have nothing really to say much about it.
I was going to say, I remember the teaser trailer for this Zack Snyder cut where it was all in black and white and it has that Hallelujah song.
Which was, I think, a big middle finger from Zack Snyder because he loves that song. And I think the most famous use of him doing that is in Watchmen when Night Owl and the Spectre finally have sex and the song Hallelujah starts playing. So classy. But yeah, and it was all black and white. Yeah. And then, yeah, that trailer was also black and white.
Again, I didn't like that either. I'm hoping that people that go see it for free on HBO enjoy it. I will not be watching it anytime soon, just like the other Batman movies. So, no interest.
Nope, not at all. Not for me either. There was a big thing also, just a little last thing here. this journalist I follow, Patrick Klepek from Vice, from Vice Gaming, he mentioned that the aspect ratio is 4:3, which is a weird aspect to have it. But people were quick to judge, saying, no, it's the IMAX full frame 1:6:6, and it that means it's cinematic and all this stuff, and you know, trying so hard to just do it. And
how is that impressive? I mean, it didn't bother me. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't bother me, but the aspect ratio.
I'm sorry.
But what was funny was later on that day, somebody found an article with Zack Snyder describing the aspect ratio as a big square. So whatever. So it's vindication, basically. So people are trying really hard to, I don't know, make this. I don't know. Whatever. It's dumb. Let's move on. Ava, come back. Let's talk WandaVision.
Come back.
Back in here.
Wow, hey. She's smiling again. She tuned out.
Come back. She was literally staring.
What were you watching just now?
She was looking at the ceiling, it looked like.
Face Off.
You're watching Face Off in the middle of what we're putting down right now?
Well, you see, I've seen it so many times I could watch it on mute, so it's a perfect background movie. Sorry.
Listen, she knows that the villains want their face off. Off.
Exactly.
Anyway.
How come we can't talk about that? They're remaking that.
No more drugs for this guy over here.
Yeah, they really are. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They're remaking it or making some a jobber.
No, they're remaking it. They hired a writer or director and they're going to do it. That's all they got so far.
Well, good for them.
You told me that.
Wait, yeah, the guy who's doing Kong versus Godzilla is directing it.
Yippee.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. Because in the new Godzilla movie, Kong takes the face of Godzilla.
I want to see that.
Him. I see. Now that is a movie right there.
That I want to see, a big giant King Kong with a face like just kind of poorly stapled on of Godzilla. God, yes.
This movie, that would be amazing. That would be so good.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can see this.
And then I want to see Godzilla do the face thing that John Travolta's family does.
Well, Godzilla has tiny hands, so it'd be kind of weird. I want to.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, it'll be kind of like, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex kind of trying to reach up and trying to like, you can't see this on audio, but just Tyrannosaurus arms trying to reach up and like, you know, pet somebody's face. That was a weird thing for a family to have. Let's pet people's faces, and that shows I love you. I tried. Not according to the courts. Judge, I wanted to show a sign of affection, so I rubbed her face. You know, you've seen Face Off. Yes, I have, but still, that does. And it's a masterpiece, right? Yes, I know, sir, but.
It's a visual cue. I love it. It makes sense. The faces are coming off. They touch the face. It works. I just can't wait for the banter between Kong and Godzilla. Godzilla going out, hey, you're not having fun, aren't you, Kong? Why don't you eat some buildings? Blow some shit up. You'll have more fun.
Godzilla's like, ain't it cool? That's a little John Travolta dance. Fuck.
One of yours, Kong? And he takes like a little baby Godzilla and shoots it out of an airplane.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Notice our whole our just beings have changed. Talking about a movie that'll never come out versus a movie that's coming out next month, Justice League. Anyway, so
super excited for this fake movie.
That's why I'm laughing so hard. It's like you guys go on this tangent. It's like so funny.
Whereas the sex night with the Justice League, we're just like, yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway,
I would bring back John Woo. Okay, let's stop.
What happened to John Woo? Anyway, yeah, let's stop. Let's talk. We're here talking about WandaVision, episode 6, Halloween Spooktacular. It's the episode we talked last week that we really wanted to watch. We really were waiting for because it's Halloween and all Halloween episodes are usually pretty fun and everything. And this was definitely some forms of creepiness, I will say. Looks like we start off, we're in the era of late 90s, early 2000s with an intro that was very reminiscent of Malcolm in the Middle, which, side note, I think if it was better available on streaming services, would be a much bigger hit right now. Because I think Agreed. That show actually holds up. That I watched. It's on.
Well, IMDb, I believe it's
Viacom or something. Or
no, I believe it's on Hulu.
Amazon?
Let's I believe see. It's on Hulu now, which is also Disney. Evelyn, can you check? Isn't it on Hulu?
Looking on the middle streaming. I remember I watched the first season, I think on imdb.com streaming, which I think is Amazon.
Yeah, it is on Hulu.
It yep, is on Hulu also now. Part okay, of Disney. Cool.
Yeah.
But if Disney actually, yeah, it is. Hulu and Amazon Prime, free. Yeah, no, if Disney threw it on Disney Plus, I think that would probably explode. Because that show really holds up still. I watched the first season and it's still really clever show. But yeah, so they're kind of doing the late 90s, early 2000 bits of TV. Quicksilver, Pietro. No one said Quicksilver yet. They just say Pietro as himself. Basically is now staying with the fam. It's Halloween time.
I was hoping he would be in the opening credits. I was so glad that they did that.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Just everyone, and then him, just Pietro as himself. Yeah. just I don't know. Yeah, no. What did we think about this episode of WandaVision?
Well, speaking of the opening credits, I don't know if it was supposed to be kind of funny when you're like you just said Pedro as himself. Is that kind of like a nod to like when they changed the Rhodey character in Iron Man 2 and you see his face and it's Don Cheadle and he's like, I'm here, it's me, get over it. I felt like it was kind of like that moment, but I don't know if they're trying to be funny like that. I thought it was funny that it said as himself. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, well, I think that also, I mean, that kind of goes into the episode too, because Wanda the entire time is like trying to trick him into things, like going like, hey, do you remember... that time at the orphanage with the kid with the shoes, and he's like, you're testing me, you don't believe me. And then she'll ask like, what happened to your accent? And he's like, what happened to yours? You know, they're both like,
why do you look different?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, I just I'm Pietro. Last thing I remembered was I was shot in the street like a punk for no reason at all, and another shot at Joss Whedon too. Man, again, banner week for that guy. I was shot in the street dead like a punk for no reason, and then I heard you calling me and I came. And I am kind of the same way of just like, I think that is kind of a funny little meta joke, because you know, again, like, yeah, Rhodey was changed into John Cheadle from Terrence Howard, and then also Ed Norton Hulk into Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. So it's kind of a funny little joke there with that. Edwin, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, I thought it was great. Oh, I like the intro. Again, going with you guys are saying about recasting. It's also a TV show trope.
Yeah.
TV shows kind of do that quite a bit. The two Darrens, I think I was
from Bewitched.
Was a famous there example. We go. Yeah, exactly. So I think it kind of played with that, but I think it's mostly just kind of referencing the Marvel and X-Men universe, which again makes me think, wow, they kind of know what we're going to think the next following episode, because I'm still not sure if this is the Quicksilver that we know from X-Men.
I was just going to ask, do we think it's actually Pietro, or do we, like, from... if it's actually Pietro from the MCU, or if it's actually, you know, from the X-Men universe coming into the MCU, or do you think it's somebody else?
Because I think it's somebody else.
Sorry. I do too. No, I do too. I think it is somebody else. A lot of people have been thinking Mephisto, and they've been clamoring that from the beginning, with a lot of signs that they said were there, but I personally really didn't see anything. But this episode, he was very, because you could tell also, like, when the kids are talking to the camera, when Tommy's talking to the camera about like, mom and dad have been kind of off lately, you could tell that he's watching and listening in on the camera cutaways, right? And no one else is. Also, he also knows what's going on, with Wanda. Yeah, he's like, you know,
family character. Yeah.
He like knows, he's like, you know, how are you doing this? Like, how are you doing this? This is so crazy, you know, and asking her legit, like, how are you doing that kind of thing? And I think, and here's my thing is I think Pietro, whoever Pietro is, I think switched bodies with Agnes because Agnes, mm-hmm. this episode, if we know, she's in the intro, but she's also off to the side, right by Ellis Avenue, which you do not cross. And I think whoever's the big bad of this, or whoever's helping Wanda do this or exploiting Wanda, is taking over the bodies and of people. And I think Agnes, because the children in the last episode, we mentioned that whenever the kids grew up or something, Agnes was always there and everything. Same kind of thing with this one. All of a sudden, kids have powers. The kids have powers. Wiccan, or Billy Wiccan. I don't know. Anyway, one has speed force. The other is kind of a Scarlet Witch type, like his mom. And they got those powers suddenly around Pietro. So I think whoever he is, whether it is Mephisto, whoever, I think is the one controlling everything and stuff. And just kind of was like, okay, well, Agnes is proving not useful anymore. I'm going to bring in this person now.
With a face that she trusts and might confide in more. And that's why he's the one asking all these questions.
Yeah.
Trying to get Wanda to say all these things, because it's like, he even says it like, oh, you could trust your brother. It's me. I'm not your husband or anything. You can confide in me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the last episode, you can tell that Vision didn't trust Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Agnes kind of caught up to that, mm-hmm. and realized, okay, if I keep pushing this, I'm going to get, figured out.
Yeah.
So what better way than to do the classic TV thing by throwing in a new character, like Aveline said, a brother, someone that's familiar, to distract from, to distract her from Agnes.
Because
Agnes knows that Vision is figuring it out.
Yeah.
Which clearly we see Vision doing his own thing. For the very first time, we see them apart.
Yeah.
The kids mention it. Which is funny how we see it's the kids' introduction. It's their show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically, it's like Malcolm in the Middle, where the kid is talking to the camera and he's the star of the show. And it's that form of comedy where it's like the kids are, talking to the camera.
Right.
And then it cutaway jokes and stuff like that, which is a very early 2000s thing.
And it kind of makes me think that, what was I going to say? Let me look at my notes, everybody. I just talking about? Vision.
You're talking about Agnes. Vision finding out.
The kids. I didn't really trust the kids in the last episode. But in this episode, I got so invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
And which we could talk about toward the end. I really like them.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. It was fun them playing with his uncle. For a while, I forget that... I forget that this is actually not real in a sense that, they're not, it's not just like a family sitcom. Like you forget, at least I forget.
Oh, this one, especially this one felt more like it could actually be a sitcom. It could actually be its own show. Right. This one did at least.
It felt really real. I didn't feel like, something was off until those moments happened. But Vision goes a separate way.
How Vision is clearly like playing Wanda's game enough to satisfy her, but yet he figured out a way to, do what he needs to do, but yet satisfy Wanda to make it seem like he's going along with the sitcom life. Like in the beginning of the episode, she's like, oh, thanks for being a sport and wearing the Halloween costume. He's like, kind of with an attitude like, well, I had no choice. I had no other clothes in my closet. And then he immediately smiles and makes a joke. And then, figures out a way to get out of the house and do his own thing and has this whole reason of why he's doing that. I thought that was really cool how he's still playing her game, but yet he has his own motives in the back of his mind.
And yeah, it kind of proves nice again little... with, sorry, Petro kind of coming in. Again, going with the logic that Petro wants Vision out of the way, as if this was Agnes. Like, Brian, I agree with you that I think Agnes is now Petro.
Yeah, and whoever was using Agnes's body switched into Pietro's, yes. Essentially. Yeah. Because now she's absolutely off to the side. You see that shot where Hayward starts becoming more and more like something's up with Hayward, especially when he says nightmare, because it's nightmare. Mm-hmm. Was anyone else irritated by that? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
nightmare. Well, they mentioned nightmare twice. Moron.
Yeah,
that's a thing too, is that everyone's saying Mephisto. I think it would be I think because this goes into Doctor Strange, that's a character that Doctor Strange sometimes fights is Nightmare, which is another demon and stuff for them. That's basically just the creation of all nightmares. But yeah, no, I would say it would probably, it could be Mephisto. I don't know. But, where's it going with that? Oh yeah. So you see that reference,
it's still on the nose.
It does.
Now I think like, oh, the fact that you hear Petro go, my little spawn.
Demon spawn.
You know, children, yeah. demon spawn. Like they are deliberately hinting at these characters and it could be just for fun. So we can talk about it, you know, for a whole
because
week
there's
until the next
no
episode.
Because other than that, there's no other mentions about it could be Mephisto. The only thing was that one throwaway line where they go, the devil's in the details, or maybe the devil's already here.
Right.
And that's it. There's no other little things. And I do think that is a misdirection, I think. And I could be wrong, but
agreed.
I think Marvel is a little smarter than that. Yeah, I think Marvel's a little smarter than that to throw that in there. If we were watching the WandaVision movie, yeah, okay, that makes sense and everything, but I think because they did it so early on, there is a misdirection there, I think, and I think that's...
I absolutely agree, and yeah. I definitely don't... I think it's going to be not as a big reveal like we think it is. I think it's going to be something more smaller, intimate, or maybe a reveal of a character that we know for sure.
Yeah, no, that's the other question. So basically back outside of Westview, we have Sword still out, recovering from that L that Wanda threw him. Basically Hayward was being yelled at by Monica Rambeau, like, hey, you capped us at the knee, why would you do that? And then Darcy says a couple things, and then Jimmy Woo steps up, who I'm really liking, steps up and goes, hey, don't yell at your subordinates when you're fighting a war you can't win. You know, don't, you know, just little things like that. And then basically kicks them all out, like, I don't need you, you three, later, goodbye. And then they go off, and then they beat up the guards and hack into the network, and we see that something's up. There's an asset in there in the Westview, which looks to be Vision, because he's tracking Vision the entire time. And then there's not that creepy Wanda. Shot. Yeah, not Wanda, but Vision. And that creepy shot where it's like, who are all those people around? Are those all the people of Westview around him? They're not moving. They're just standing there. And you can kind of see if that might be Wanda's powers, where if she can't control everybody, they just kind of stand still, mm-hmm. and trapped, imprisoned in their own minds. We saw that as Vision went further and further. He looked to the right, and there's a couple. One's trying to put up like Halloween decoration, but just keeps doing it over and over. And as the song is kind of like, you know, cheery and whatever, you just see a single tear run down her face. Until finally he gets to the very edge, and everyone's kind of standing still, and no one's just doing anything and everything with that. Where was I going with that? Oh, so then Jimmy and Monica are going to go meet up with Monica's contact or guy that could help them possibly get mm-hmm. in. Any ideas or theories about who that could be?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we already said, like, you know, from the Fantastic Four would be cool.
It would be cool. I don't know if they'd actually do that.
Right.
I'm not sure anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't know if I mean, I'm expecting it to be somebody, maybe like Rhodey or something. I don't know that, and that I'm kind of excited for, actually, honestly, because everyone's hoping it's Reed Richards, which I don't think it is, because everyone's like, oh, and the thing they're pointing to is that John Krasinski, because everyone wants John Krasinski as Reed Richards from Emily Blunt, and John Krasinski as Sue Storm and Reed Richards. So everyone's like, oh my God, maybe John Krasinski, because he had a meeting with Marvel several months back. And it's just like, it's not how it works. But also, I mean, John Krasinski's already there. He's Jimmy Woo. That's an Office joke for people. Anyway, in an episode, Jim plays a prank on Dwight, and he hires an actor buddy of his, who's Randall Park, who plays Jimmy Woo, to pretend to be Jim. It's a funny scene, whatever. Anyway, everyone else is laughing. So, again, I don't think it's going to be Reed Richards. I think it's going to be somebody we already know, or maybe even a character that we haven't yet met that isn't as big. I know there's a character, Blue Marvel, out there that Monica has been on many teams with. I don't really know that much about him. It is... what is his fucking name? Oh, Adam Bernard Brashear, also known as the Blue Marvel. He worked with Monica on several comic books. I think it might be a small something like that.
You really think so? Detail. Somebody small?
I feel like they're
making this reveal so obvious that if it's a character that people barely know, unless you Google it, I don't think it's going to be that interesting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no.
Unless that's what they're going for, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're keeping it secret for a reason.
Right, and they keep bringing it up and everything. And also, there's been stuff, if you watch the Portuguese language track, the subtitles are the feminine pronunciation, so who knows, maybe it's a woman.
Right.
So people are like, it could be a woman, but then she says, she says the term guy, my guy is here. Well, you can use guy as feminine or not and everything, so it works. So, who knows? I doubt it's Captain Marvel.
Like, the easiest thing that I can think of is, like, the Skrull, because it's a Captain Marvel character. Maybe it's one of the Skrulls or somebody from Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
in human form, because we know who they are. And they can be dressed up as, you know, their human form. It could be the guy that plays Talos.
Talos. So who was last seen in Far From Home? Yeah.
Yeah, him in the human, you know, version would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Because this also takes place before Far From Home as well. So, and we know that he is there posing as Nick Fury, too.
Or Nick Fury.
Yeah,
I don't know. Or it could be Nick Fury.
Yeah, well, Nick Fury's off in space. Talos was impersonating him in Far From Home. We don't know. Who knows? I mean, that's the fun of it that it's not not so in your face where we can actually guess this and everything. And that's what I kind of like about the show too, is that it could go anywhere at this point. Now we see. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, kind of like, speaking of like how you're saying how things are sometimes in your face, like last podcast when I was talking about how Hayward and Agnes are the most suspicious, and I think they're the ones who are behind a lot of this. But now watching this episode, I'm like, you know, it is so on the nose and so obvious that they're so suspicious. Now I'm thinking, like, is that another red herring to throw
I think Hayward is hiding. So it's obviously he's hiding something, because Darcy even finds it and goes like, "Oh, Hayward, you sneaky bastard!" and sends an email with all the files to Jimmy. So he is up to something. I think it is something to do with, you know, Vision too, because we do find out that, like, when he wakes Agnes up when she's in the car asking for, like, "Hey, where's the town? Where's the square scare?" And he's like, "In the town square since you lived your whole life." And she's just like, "Got lost." And he wakes her up, and it's that really just great creepy scene of her just like, "Oh my God, are you the Avengers? Are you here to help us? And he's just like, I'm trying to help you. What's an Avenger? Like, he doesn't remember him being an Avenger. And obviously something's up with that, with Hayward, since he's following him and all that stuff. Since he's keeping dibs on him through, you know, with that and everything. So yeah, Hayward is up to what's something. This? He is hiding something.
And I was kind of weird, kind of seeing Hayward not really caring when Vision is stepping out of the Hex.
I think it could be an experiment.
Like originally I thought he's tracking him because
that's what the goal is. They want Vision back. They want what was stolen from him.
He claims Wanda stole this, so he wants it back. So I thought as soon as Vision got out, he was going to like run and grab him. But his reaction was like, wow, he really wants to get out. Like he was shocked that he's leaving, as if he doesn't want him to leave the Hex. And that really threw me off. I'm like, what?
Maybe there's multiple visions.
Right?
He wants to see what this version, what, like, this is an experiment. Let's see what happens.
This is the first time I thought that maybe this is not Vision at all. That was the first moment where I'm like, maybe this isn't Vision. Oh my God, he doesn't even want to go grab him. This is crazy.
And the goal is, Hayward's goal is to kill Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. All his actions lead to that. Yeah. That's all he care about based on these two episodes. Because if Vision was a priority,
She knows he would have grabbed him. And that's why. That's the thing. I think, exactly. I think there's multiple visions. And that kind of leads me into my theory, actually, with this. So we see at the end, Vision getting outside the Hex. And he is fighting with it. It's like trying to pull him back in, and it's literally disintegrating, and he's like struggling, and he's yelling at him like, help, help the people, you know, like, you know, and everything. And Darcy comes running out and she's like, what are you doing? He's dying. Help him. And they, you know, cover up to the trail. And Wiccan, Tommy, I believe his name is, or Billy, one of the two, finally wakens his powers, his brother with super speed, and he hears Vision outside the Hex yelling for help, goes to his mom, goes to Scarlet Witch, goes, hey, I think Dad's dying. Pietro goes like, hey, it's okay, your dead husband can't die twice. He goes flying, which was wow.
All a great moment.
It was such this all of the
that
last
was a great moment.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah, just such a great that whole sequence, because like not only that, but like she immediately gets into mom mode as well, going,
yes,
focus. Focus, what do you want? And this actually kind of highlights how amazing of an actress she is, because she is playing so many different roles on the show each every week, and it's always different. And how like she gets into mom and goes, okay, focus, I need you to tell me where your father is, tell me now. And then he starts describing, you know, there's soldiers, he's in pain, I think he's dying. She immediately goes into Wanda mode, tilts her head, you know, shit's going down, and the Hex starts expanding.
Yeah.
And it swallows up sword agents who are turned into clowns. Darcy gets sucked into it, and the Hex has gotten bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And right before that also, I should mention, is that Darcy warns Monica, because Monica's like, oh, I can get back into the Hex. And Darcy goes, you can't go in there. You've been through twice. Your cells have changed on a molecular level now. And Monica does become the character Photon. She also was Captain Marvel for a bit in comics as well. So it looks like this is her introduction to get powers. I think this is how they introduce mutants into the MCU. I think at one point Wanda says, fuck it all. And the Hex goes worldwide. And depending on a person's genes, they get changed to where they have powers because they change on a molecular level. And it awakens those dormant X genes that have always been there. But now this Hex opens it up. And that's how we get mutants into this world. I think that's how they're going
to
introduce
that. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's going as well.
Yeah. Because House of M, it was no more mutants. It's kind of natural to do the opposite mutants.
Right.
And
It's funny that you just mentioned that, because I was just about to mention a moment from X-Men where, kind of like how you were saying earlier, Edwin, that you were so invested in the kids in this episode, and that moment where Wiccan gets his powers so reminded me of the moment when Magneto gets his powers, when something bad is happening to his parents and mm-hmm. he's pulling the gate and Vision is kind of by a gate or the border and yeah, he feels his dad getting in trouble, and that's the moment when he got his powers, and I just thought that was so cool how they mirrored that, you yeah. know. So it, like, it was so similar to the Magneto scene of when he gets his powers, how Wiccan got his yeah. powers, and I was like, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is the second time they reference kind of like a Magneto moment yeah. in the last episode where Wanda, the gun.
With the gun.
The guns immediately and, point to Hayward. Yeah.
But actually, it was the hand flicker when Wanda turns around.
That's true, yeah.
And the only reason why I noticed it the next day. Me and Aveline watched The Dark Phoenix, and oh, yeah. there was a Magneto moment, and we were watching it, and like, they were like stuck in like a train.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, it's to the T, the flicker of the hand, it is exactly the same. I really? Pause it, right? Aveline, you watched it. We paused yeah. it. I'm like, dude, that is exact. I thought it was going to be from like an earlier movie.
Yeah.
Earlier X-Men movie. It was from The Dark Phoenix to the T. Exactly yeah. the same.
Can we talk about the commercial? The little claymation yeah. commercial?
I was going to bring that up too.
This is the first commercial. I don't really get what they're referencing other than a Go-Gurt commercial.
Yeah. I mean, but one, it felt very 90s of the time where it's just like, what up, dude? I'm a shark. I'm wearing sunglasses and I surf. It's that one meme I sent you, Edwin, where it was Alf on a skateboard saying, I'm going to go eat Tortinos and play Battletoads with your mom. it's very like 90s, early 2000s, in your face.
Yeah.
Advertising and everything. And it's dark as fuck because it's a claymation kid that's on a desert island desert island going like, I'm so hungry. Shark pops up, goes, yo, dude, you want some yo magic? Throws him a yogurt cup, and the kid's like, oh my God, and starts trying to peel off the lid, but he can't. And he's frantically peeling off the lid, and it just, you can see the days change behind him, and he gets more and more skinny until he's just bone and dead. And then it's just like, yo, magic!
Four survivors.
Yeah, exactly. Four survivors. This has been kind of a thing with the commercials leading up to this. A lot of people were speculating that it's the parent, that the two people that were in there, the man and woman, were representing their parents, Wanda's parents,
mm-hmm. right.
and such. But I heard one theory that actually makes sense, is that these commercials are basically time in Wanda's life. Right. So the first commercial was Tony Stark and the toaster, and that had a very ominous beeping noise like a bomb. Mm-hmm. And we know in Age of Ultron that, you know, they lost their parents. Pietro and Wanda lost their parents due to a bomb that was made by Stark Industries. The next commercial was Struker brand watches, which she was then captured and experimented on by Strucker and Hydra. The next one was Hydra soap, which alters people's minds and everything and gets them to do stuff. So so that shows her that she was being used by Hydra. And then Lagos, which was the Lagos mm-hmm. Paper towels for mistakes when you don't mean them, which was her blowing up Lagos, the Wakandans and Lagos in Civil War, which starts everything. And this one, a lot of people are saying it's basically her trying to, it represents her trying to save everybody and ended up dying by trying to get the stone out of Vision's head. And she just ran out of time when she could have done it earlier, but she refused to. And then when she finally did it, Thanos was there, reverse time. And then he ripped it out of his head and then she ended up dying in the snap. So people are saying that kind of explain these commercials are representing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something Ultron related because we got the brother back. I thought it was going to be her dealing with her dead brother, but we kind of see that quick flashback of Pietro being all zombified.
Yeah.
But I was expecting a commercial related to Ultron because he was the one responsible for Pietro's death.
Yeah.
But it didn't go there. It went through, like, when it's funny, I was so invested in the show that as soon as a commercial came in, I forgot. It kind of triggered me back. Oh, yeah, I'm watching
WandaVision.
As I watched it, it made me realize, man, it reminded me, and I'm sure a lot of, well, no one's really listening, but if people were listening to this that are cinephiles, I'm
going to
say something. Yeah, why are we doing this? It reminded me of watching a David Lynch movie.
Yeah, no, it was very...
This commercial made me feel that way. For the very first time, I'm like, I am creeped out, but I get the references. Kind of like David Lynch uses 50s movies.
Yeah.
This one is using 90s, you know, themes and images and the stop motion that it felt so familiar, but I was scared at the same time. It was basically a dream.
Yeah.
Like a really bad dream as a kid.
I kind of
didn't understand.
I want the voice of the shark now to be David Lynch. Hey, kid.
That'd be awesome.
You want yogurt? Here you go. Oh, your magic.
That would have been,
awesome.
Perfect if they would have got him doing it.
He does weather reports on YouTube.
Yeah, I heard. And it's this would have been perfect for him.
Yeah, no, because you are right. It struck that perfect tone of like, this seems so familiar because those are the commercials that always played all the time nonstop back when we were younger, where it was that in your face, like, hey, you want a Capri Sun? What up? Skateboard, rollerblade, and shit like that. Like it was very well done where it was like, oh man, yeah, this does feel familiar. And like you said, you totally forget like, oh yeah, there's commercials in this. And it threw you off and everything too, which, it was great. So the next three episodes, I heard, are going to be an hour long now. Ooh. They're expanding them.
Nice.
And that doesn't mean 30 minutes a show, 30 minutes of credits. that, because there's a lot of credits, because it's good because they're, giving props to the, people who do the different languages and everything, but at the same time, that's a lot of credits. Because it's going to a lot of countries. So it's going to be an hour long. I think they said that there's only going to be one more parody sitcom. And then the last two episodes are going to be basically not parody, but, what's happening in the real world kind of thing. The next episode, I believe, is going to be more of a parody in the style of the sitcoms of the era, The Office and Modern Family, which is docu-series type style done.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense why Wanda made the hex even bigger. Because now we're going to see Darcy in either in an office, or she'll probably be part of the credits in the next episode, I'm sure, along with all these other FBI agents.
That was a weird thing too, because it looked like each one, or as she was expanding the hex, even though the hex expanded, the time frame did not. Because that was very early 90s or late 90s, early 2000s. But as it expanded, it looked like as it got bigger, it went through different times. Like it first started, looked like it was like the 1800s with like a hot air balloon, or where the helicopter turned into a hot air balloon. And then like mimes, like a circus, like a sideshow circus. And then as it, when you saw the dealership and it looked like that was from the 80s or something, like it looked like it was different, varying degrees of time.
The show is always one step ahead. How cool will it be if thinking it's going to be the 2010s, they just go back to the 1920s and something is revealed.
Because like it depends on how long the hex has been in there or something, where it's like there's different layers to the hex, also different, not just sitcom world, but also a traveling circus world and in this time period and something else in this time period where there's different ripple effects inside the hex. So in this hex, it's like a whole unstable,
timey-wimey
thing.
But that's like not part of a TV show, so I don't know.
I know.
But it would be cool if, like, we're not going to do a TV formula. We're just going to show you a play.
Yeah. something like that. Yeah,
I was hoping that they would do like How I Met Your Mother opening credits, except it's How I Met Wanda. And I really want to see Darcy in the opening credits. I cannot wait to see her. I like that they showed, you know, everyone else being transformed when the heck.
But not her.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this makes me so excited to see her next episode. Damn, they're good.
She's going to be a waitress. And she's
gonna
be good.
Yeah, she's going to be she's gonna be one broke waitress. So yeah, like that's Darcy to a T. That's that actress too. She's so snarky and stuff. That's like, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, just make her that. And that would be a nice little nod and everything in there. Speaking of How I Met Your Mother, I think that's better than Friends. I know that's jumping the, I know that's kind of jumping the thing, but what I like about, and I just realized this because I watched the first couple episodes of Friends, mm-hmm. and I realized nobody drank like alcohol, whereas How I Met Your Mother felt very more real because you saw them hanging out, drinking, joking, laughing at their own jokes and stuff. I don't know, sidetrack that jumped in my head when you said How I Met Your Mother. That has nothing to do with
that. No, I enjoy that show very much. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 No, I know. I
kept telling the show.
Fucking watch it. Anyway, and you did. So congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You learned once to listen to me.
Well, I was going to say, what if they do a show? They're not going to do this, but if they do Wanda, the mixture of Arrested Development, this is Wanda.
Oh, God.
And have Ron Howard narrate. That'd be great.
Just having her just go like, I'm fine.
Clint Howard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clint Howard narrating her going, I'm fine. She wasn't. Yeah.
It works. It still works.
It works. But no, let them do whatever they've. Again, that's one of the things about the show that, you know, we talked about earlier was that it's so exciting to talk about because you really don't know what they're going to do because they can play their hands to the chest. I mean, unless you go into the weeds of the internet and looking for speculations and stuff like that. There might be,
but like even then reports. It's so much.
Yeah. It's so much that you don't know what to expect. And it's just fun to talk about a show of like, oh wait, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen next and everything and all that stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's very early days of Lost.
And I was never a part of that. So it's kind of exciting to be with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Lost either. So for me, it's like the early days of watching Heroes.
That too. Perfect example. Yeah. Heroes. Perfect early days of Heroes where it was like, it's like, what's going to happen now? What is his power? Who's Siler? Exactly. What is he going to get? Is the cheerleader going to save the world? And then like, oh,
I've been
man.
Down to rewatch that.
Yeah. Oh man, this is going to be great. Season 2 is going to be amazing, y'all.
Ugh. I'm
going to leave it at that.
Yeah. I'll be disappointed.
Man, talk about just a big old misstep. Fucking Heroes. I remember with a group of friends doing Heroes Night and watching the show with everybody and discussing it. And then just the third or fourth episode of the second season, it's like, do we still have to keep doing this?
Yeah. It was a big group of us too. And we're like, now what are we going to watch?
Exactly. Cause who gives a shit? But yeah. So, I don't know. That's, I think that'll do it. I mean, we pretty much covered everything. Unless, does anyone else have anything else to say or mention?
Go over your notes. Any other?
Yes.
Hold on. You go through your notes. I'll go through my notes.
I was gonna say for the outro song this week, I was thinking of doing something of a little They Might Be Giants since they did the theme song to Malcolm in the Middle and everything. So I don't know. I like that band. It's a really nerdy band that's really nice and such. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But any other?
Yours makes more sense.
What was your song?
I can't play it. The song was The Beatles, and it's called Tomorrow Knows.
Tomorrow Never Knows.
Tomorrow Never Knows. Okay. And it's from the soundtrack of The Craft, because it was set in the 90s, and it's about witchcraft. Yeah. And when I played it, never heard
light
of
as a feather,
song, by the way.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a feather.
Never heard it, Aveline went all crazy when she heard it. I'm like, you know this song? She's like, yeah, it's a Beatles song. I'm like, okay, like, well, let me talk to Brian.
What's a Beatle?
I wanted to do.
But nobody listens to me.
But Brian, what was your song? What?
I was just gonna pick a They Might Be Giants song because they did the soundtrack to Malcolm in the Middle. The You're Not the Boss of Me Now.
I didn't hear the song.
I don't know. I was gonna pick just like a random. I mean, I think their biggest hit that everybody knew when they were a kid was Istanbul was Don't Count to Dublin from Tiny Toon Adventures. And yeah, also Meteor Man, Meteor Man.
Ooh, actually, I got the song. It's early 90s.
Let's hear it.
And I think the first lyrics goes, it's kind of strange. The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh my God, yes.
It's kind of bad.
Which actually, coincidentally, 30 years ago, a couple weeks ago, was the first Pete and Pete special to where it became a half hour show.
I miss that show.
That's cool.
Let's do that. Pete and Pete. Adventures of Pete and Pete is ending it. I don't care if it has nothing to do with it because God damn it, that was an amazing show. But we're not done yet. Edwin, any other notes that you had?
Oh, wait. No, I wasn't ready. I got excited for it with Pete and Pete and outros.
Pete and Pete.
I want to watch a Pete and Pete episode. Why don't we have any?
I think there's.
I'm gonna buy it right now because now I really want to watch it.
I know the DVDs. I know they came out with the first two seasons on DVD, and the third season they haven't been able to because of music rights or something. Because a lot of those bands that they had access to became popular after the fact, because they were just, you know, independent bands and stuff, and they had a record label that was like, yeah, go ahead, use any of our artists and stuff like that. God, Pete and Pete. I think they're all on you. I think a lot of them are on YouTube.
Well, like ever since we watched this WandaVision episode, we got so into the 90s nostalgia. We started watching YouTube 90s commercials, which led to, you know, us watching like wanting to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I was like, yeah. Oh my God, I just 90s everything right now, please. And thank you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird thing. Yeah, I mean, you can get the first season DVD for $83.10. All 8 episodes from season 1. Because it's all...
Wait,
it's
when?
All
where?
Amazon.com. It is season 1, all 8 episodes from season 1. $83 because it is out of print.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I want to say Amazon... Yeah, I want to say Amazon
season
does
two,
some like Nick.
Season 2 is $193.
Damn.
On DVD?
Yes, on DVD. Clarissa Explains It All, $5.99. Hey Dude, the complete series, which is just season 1 because there's only one season, $27.62.
Must have it. Must have all of those.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Season 1, $14.19.
I think I got that on iTunes. I think I got like volume 1.
Oh yeah, might be able to find all this stuff on iTunes. Yeah, all this stuff. Daria. God.
Yeah, that's on Hulu.
Yeah, that's on Hulu as well. Yeah. Alex Mack.
Oh yeah, I need to get that one.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Have you found your notes, Edwin?
Yeah, I went through them. I think we covered everything. I just wanted to emphasize the kids. The kids moment. I really like the kids in this one. Really felt for them. Loved Wanda going complete Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think this isn't going to be the last you see of those two, because again, I do think because they are part of the Young Avengers run that they had with that was both Wiccan and Speed and Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, Iron Lad, who turned out to be King the Conqueror, and somebody else. I forget. Captain, I think the younger
Stinger?
Version of Captain
no.
America.
Stinger?
I think it was the
no.
younger version of Captain America.
You know, no, Ant-Man's?
Cassie Lang. Yeah. Cassie Lang, who was Scott Lang's daughter. She became she was able to grow big.
But what was her name?
You know,
Sting?
I don't think Sting. Let's see. There was Hulkling. Yeah, stop saying sting.
Yeah.
Oh, stung.
Yeah. No, it's prick. Anyway, no, it's the members are Iron Lad, Hawkeye, Hulkling, who actually ends up being the future husband of Wiccan, Kid Loki, Miss Kid Loki, that might actually play a part of Loki, maybe. Patriot, Prodigy, Speed, Stature, Vision, a younger version of Vision as well. I think they're kind of leading up to a Young Avengers movie with all those characters, because we have Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series that's currently filming, that's being played by Haley Steinfeld. Mm-hmm. I think Steinfeld. But yeah, so I think we're going to see more of Wiccan and Speed in the future, but maybe like teenagers, disenfranchised teenagers. Which cool. But yeah, I did like that aspect too. I did like the kids in this episode too as well, with that whole thing. I just like this whole episode. Again, each episode just, there wasn't a big like holy shit moment, but it was such a good episode.
Yeah, right.
Just pushing it forward. And
semi holy shit moment with Vision getting out of the dome, and
that's
then
true. Yeah, yeah,
her expanding it. That was, yeah, like, I mean, her going like cool crazy was pretty cool.
It's a, you good know, push forward of the
Edwin,
story.
You did mention to me, and you forgot to mention this earlier, that you thought it was interesting that the show is always kind of one step ahead, like how we were saying last week that we were fixated on how Vision says there's no children anywhere. And now in this episode, there's
right.
There was like tons, yeah.
Every time we kind of ask a question like that, and in the next episode, they deliver. And you were
and
saying
that was, that. Yeah, that was, they also, and even Pietro was like, where'd you hide the kids?
Yeah.
Even says that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about how, yeah, she kind of quickly just pushes him away with her power, which you're right. I think in the next episode, Wanda and Vision will finally team up together, probably figure out on their own that, hey, something is wrong. And I still don't know if whether or not they still want to go out of the hex, but clearly not, because she just expanded it. So maybe, yeah, Vision is either going to be more repressed or, yeah, I don't know. It's really so hard to tell, but
yeah.
Either way, no, they're going to be working together at this point.
Together?
They're going to be on the same page.
Or maybe a switch is flipped and Vision is switched to evil.
Instead of good.
Oh, I see the problem here.
Yeah, I see your problem here. This Dell switched to evil.
That's what Hayward's going to do in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I see the problem here.
He switched to evil the entire time. God.
So I'm going
to
put this to evil instead of, you know, superhero.
My bad. I'm such a dummy. Gosh.
That's why all the machines kept failing. No, don't release these sentinels yet. We need
that was another. That's another. That was another theory I forgot to mention, was that a lot of people are saying that essentially Vision is early prototype. When I said there's multiple Visions, there's a theory that, like, oh wait, are they building sentinels? And it's like Vision sentinels. Essentially, where the Sentinels are going to
really?
Be Vision,
I didn't get
vibranium
that.
And shit. I didn't get that either, but people are like, oh, they're building something. But the only thing I
got, Nimrod.
Yeah, Nimrod. Yeah. we're going for it. I want a dupe. All right. Yeah, no. So, yeah, no, you're exactly right with that. So we'll see. We'll see if Vision and Wanda team up or fight or whatever the fuck happens, because this show, I don't know. Just keep doing your keep showing us and such. But yeah, so I think with that said, does anyone else have any further comments, anything like that, or all the, any of that stuff, or theories or anything? No, you're shaking your heads. No,
no, okay, sir.
I have to say that because,
sorry, I'm going to say
audio,
no.
Audio podcast.
no. No,
why are you
leave
signing,
me alone.
What are you saying in sign language? What are you doing? No. That apple? I only know apple, and that's because of Coco the gorilla.
Because of Coco.
The flights, yeah. Yeah. Apple, happy. Thank you, maybe. I think that's thank you. I don't know. Let's do this. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so like we said earlier, you're probably hearing The Adventures of Pete and Pete now because, damn it, it's an amazing show. Nickelodeon, get it back on the air, please. We want this. Oh, not on the air. We just make it to where we can watch it. Don't redo it. Don't reboot it. Just put it out on streaming, please. Thank you. And now, be back and watch it.
Don't you talk about